And then we're going to carry on with our own reflecting on the message title, which is the perfect picture of peace or shalom. Let me see here. I got my clicker on. Yes, so the candle we've lit is the candle of peace. And the biblical word for that is shalom. And the biblical word for shalom is at the top there. You read it from right to left. That's how you read Hebrew, okay? Gary knows this, right? Shalom. And those letters spell that. And that means peace in a powerful way. It's a deep and abiding peace. It's kind of a wholeness. This is the concept of shalom in the Bible. Well-being, completeness, prosperity, safety, health, harmony with God and others. And that's a big, big concept. That's a big idea. And in the Hebrew sense, it's not just the cessation of hostility. Wonderful headline in Cincinnati Inquirer saying the World War is over. It's World War I. The armistice was signed November 11 at 11 o'clock on November 11th was the cessation of all hostility. But that's not simply what this is about. It's not just about the end of rioting in the streets where people are firebombing each other and trying to throw bricks at police. It's a profound sense of well-being. It's a sense of love deeper than anything you've ever known. It's a sense of living in a sustained, true, and lasting state of joy. Something that just allows you to experience life to the full. And knowing also that your fondest and deepest hopes are being realized. It's a wonderful saying here. Never give up on your hopes and dreams, no matter how long it takes or how hard it seems to get there. They are the things that carry you forward. And so one of our greatest and deepest hopes is that there will truly be peace on earth. So the angels were singing about peace. We heard about peace in the text that Sita read before her prayer. The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and give you his peace. Peace just keeps echoing through the scriptures and through the experiences we have. The angels were singing peace on earth, goodwill to men, and may that come true, and that is what our hope and dream is. Let's pray about that. Dear Lord, we're going to turn to Scripture again to be inspired by what you have to say from the pages of the Bible, speaking to us, to our faith and to our hearts and to our minds and embracing us in pictures and visions, Lord, that we need to continually surrender unto you. Dear Lord, please bless us in our time of reflecting on the Word. May it truly be a blessing to all of us. In Jesus' name, amen. So the passage is Isaiah 11, 1 to 10, and it has a beautiful and powerful sense of what peace is. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy. He with justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. That right there is a picture of peace. When righteousness is the thing that the Lord judges by, and he gives decisions that just bring peace into the world. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth and with the breath of his lips. He will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together. And a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, and their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put its hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, sorry, that's not another verse. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. This is the reading of God's word. Thanks be to him. You see, his resting place is a place of peace. That's the place where he is at peace. So we essentially dream of peace. I think we dream that it may come to pass fully in our world. We long for peace. I think this is really coming out of the 60s. I don't know if you were a flower power or heard about flower children. I was reflecting with Doug and Sue recently about living in Boulder, Colorado. They said they used to be a stop on the way to Haight-Ashbury in the 1960s, and the young people going out there dreaming of peace for the world. That's still true today. We want what the angels sang: peace on earth, goodwill to all men. We want this. We long for it. But at so many times, like, for example, in the trenches of World War I, they dreamed of peace, of a return to normal life, but they existed in the war. If they weren't killed, wounded, sent home, maimed, and disfigured, they waited 4 long years for peace to come. They wanted the opportunity to be at home with their families. They wanted to be able to go to work and finish a week of good labor in peace and be brought out of this miserable situation. We all lived through COVID time, COVID-19, isolation, battling an invisible virus. We longed in that time for a return to peace where we could be with each other again normally. I know that Paul Barner, who's just here visiting us last week from Davao, Philippines, he was living in New York with his father during COVID time, and he caught it, got the virus. It put him in the hospital. He never goes to the hospital. He said, "I never go to the hospital." My wife finally said to him, "You're going to die. You got to go." And he said he was lying there in a room and he couldn't breathe. His lungs were filling with fluids as the virus took hold, and it just filled his body so that it was nearly the point of death. He had an intubator and everything. And he is an Ironman competitor. He's not an easy man to put down like that. But he was truly at the point and threshold of death because of the coronavirus. I'm sure longing for a restoration to shalom. And he was. By the miracle of God, his wife generated prayer. He was in contact with a large community of people, and people prayed for him from all directions. And he was restored to shalom, the sense of wholeness and life. He had the opportunity to be back in the land of the living through prayers and God's healing work. And he is still doing Ironman competitions today. We are a people who long for peace. We dream of peace. We long for a place where there will be no more Holocaust like our September 11. Truly horrific. Planes full of people flown into buildings, killing thousands in those buildings. Or Israel's October 7th, where they had over 1,200 people die one day by a Holocaust brought to them by the soldiers of Hamas. This is where peace is shattered in a million pieces. We long for a day when there are no men with guns and tunnels, but only the Palestinian people able to live in peace, trade in peace, preserve their peace, for their children, their mothers, their fathers to be brought out of a situation of a war zone. I know that shalom, true peace, the kind that we really long for, is not easy to find. It's so easy to shatter it. We do want that day to come when peace will be completely realized and permanent forever. But sometimes it just seems it's too easily overthrown. Is peace even possible anymore? Do we wonder about it? You know, day when missiles won't be a threat to us. If you read carefully, you know that Guam is under the threat of missiles. Very easily they could fall upon us from North Korea or China. Is peace possible? So easily overthrown. Terror has been felt at shootings in our community in Guam just recently. At schools, at universities, at places of business, in medical centers, at places of festival and fun. And these moments, they shatter the peace, they traumatize and they disturb us and they leave us longing and hoping for a time when there will be peace. We long for that shalom. We want it to come. We long for peace in this Christmas time, O Lord. We're praying that. We're asking that the angel's message become true. And but we're asking, when will it come, O Lord? When will peace truly arrive? When will it be here? When will that angel's beautiful message of hope be realized? Let there be peace on earth and goodwill towards men, on whom his favor rests. So that we can enter into an amazing, secure, and fully realized peace and enter into it now, peace on earth. You know, John 14 has a beautiful text, passage about peace. Sita just read in it about answering prayers, the Lord answering us in prayer, but he also talks there about peace. He says, peace I'm going to leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give you as the world gives, as we've been hearing. The world takes our peace and shatters it, takes and steals it, disrupts it, tries to destroy it. But I don't give it to you as the world gives. He says, do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. I will give you a peace that passes all understanding, kept in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our island of Guam is not simply an idyllic place of peace. In one way, we say it's a paradise, you know, walk by the ocean. We can look and enjoy this warm weather. It's a ferocious winter storm about to hit the east of the United States. Colorado, where some of Doug's family lives, they're wiping out on the highways from a snowstorm, crashes and slippery and sliding. So we can say Guam is really nice, warm, no ice, no snow. But it can be shattered, that peace that John 14 talks about can be shattered even here. And we know that. The world will give us trouble because there's storms can come and shatter our peace. The ferocious typhoons have hit, and if someone's lived here long enough, many, many times. Can't even keep track of them all, really. And then this place and these people have suffered terribly under the boot of the Japanese Empire domination during World War II, celebrating Happy Liberation Day, Biba Guam, remembering the day the Marines landed on the beach to give them their freedom back. They know peace can be shattered. And the way of life here in Guam has been compromised over years, centuries really, by the interference of the most powerful. It's a picture of the Spanish Empire. If you notice, the island of Guam is probably not able to see, I'm able to see it, but it is one of the parts of it. And then it's not easy on this island. The U.S. military demands have been great on the people who've lived here. And at one point, the U.S. military had great, great power here, too. Whenever you have power, it's easy to abuse it. It's very different now today, I know. But we do pray that our community may be completely healed of any traumatizing wounds from the past and brought to a perfect peace. We pray this for our world. We pray that it may be ransomed, may be healed, may be restored and forgiven. How is it that busloads of Japanese tourists can come here and be welcomed? Welcomed! Because there has been a restoration and a ransoming, a healing, a restoration. That the U.S. and the Japanese can be perfect allies. That there can be an overcoming of anxieties and unknown illnesses that can strike us at any time. We are under the threat of our peace being shattered. And we pray that God, the Lord, will grant us peace. We pray that there will be peace in Jesus' name. That peace that passes all understanding will be ours to enjoy. That the peace that we're hoping for, that we light a candle for, may enter into our world with force and power and be able to be fixed so that there is complete transformation. In our text of Isaiah, perhaps the Holy Spirit's work towards peace is like the best-run military campaigns, and I was somehow referring the idea back to the Allies. I don't know if you remember, Dwight Eisenhower was the general in charge of the Allies who were trying to invade Europe and take back and give people their freedom from the Nazi German armies, from the SS divisions. Not an easy job. But they had to operate in the understanding of this. The Spirit of the Lord had to rest upon them. The Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord. If that Spirit can move, He can begin to transform and help us to establish a greater peace. Because like that best-run military campaign, you need to use knowledge and insight, counsel and power to achieve the best results. One of the things he had to do, Eisenhower, he had to check the egos of the generals that were going to wanting to fight. And, you know, and he had to make sure that supplies got put out to everybody. The Holy Spirit has to work within us to bring us to a place where we can achieve lasting peace. One that is lasting, that endures. It cannot be just presumed. You must build it. That's why this picture is so cool. Peace built out of blocks. You know, what do? Pick the blocks, you put them together. And not only that, you have the child with a balloon of the globe. You have another child flying the dove of peace. You got to dream about peace. You must long for it. You must believe that it's possible that we can go beyond wars to a place where there can be peace in the Middle East. And it's on our news feeds, if you look at it, you know. They're saying, can we dream about a Middle East that is beyond the wars and beyond the massacres and the death and the dying? We must dream it and we must build it and we must live it out. That's for us. If it can really become something real in our community, we must build it. We must put the blocks in place that help peace to be established in our place. I find it amazing that post-World War II, nations like Germany and France and England were able to learn how to live in peace. And they do so to this day. They were earnest enemies. And then there was also this Cold War that existed. There was no open hostility. How was the peace maintained? How did we avoid entering into a nuclear holocaust? I used to go attend a church in Rochester, New York, for cadets, their children's program. There was a little old, rusty, faded sign on the side of the church wall. It said, this is a bomb shelter. The bomb shelter. See, that was the 1950s. 1950s, you had to train to go under the desk because the fear of nuclear holocaust was very real. So you had bomb shelters designated all over. I grew up in peace. I grew up where that became a more and more distant kind of possibility. It was always present, but not as real as it was in the 50s. And one of the pathways they did establish and keep the peace in the midst of the Cold War was they'd carefully communicate with each other. There was a a hotline between Moscow and Washington. They could talk and they could, you know, they'd have to ascertain. There were times when maybe a guy was in a submarine, there was a false message came to him to fire the missiles, and he said, no, I don't think the command has come through, and somehow they communicated and got it sorted out and kept the peace. I'd say by the grace of God, really. But you have to do preparations needed to defend your freedom and your peace. So it is very helpful to defend your freedom and to keep the peace, to have sharp weapons and good defense, because that does help. Got a missile defense system being put in place on the island of Guam. We know that it has worked very effectively in Ukraine, trying to protect their communities from missiles flying in, Israel from missiles flying and landing in Tel Aviv or Jerusalem. The Lord knows that this world is a dangerous place. The Lord Jesus Christ knew there would be conflict and war. There would be conspiracies and betrayal, that he would come and he would find it difficult. Yet he came anyways. He knew it was a dangerous world in which peace could be shattered in a moment. Yet he came. He went boldly to fulfill God's holy will. What he accomplished is peace between God and us, a reconciliation, won and earned on the cross, bringing peace between God and ourselves, who are really at war with God's holiness. We do not tolerate God's holiness as the rule for our lives, because we've got grudges we have to settle, because we've got things we have to achieve. We've got maybe something we need to acquire, you know? But the Lord has said, no, you can have peace with yourself and peace with the world, which your sins are forgiven, where you can be dressed in a white robe, made clean and holy, made presentable to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then you can be an agent of reconciliation and peace. Remember Matthew 5 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they are called the children of God. There is a brand new covenant established in the body given by the Lord Jesus and the blood shed that establishes us in the peace of God. Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah means God, Shalom means peace. And the translation is, the Lord is peace. Established in our Lord Jesus Christ. His candle is lit, the presence of Christ in the white candle. We've lit the candle of hope, knowing how hope wants to carry us forward to the promised land, and how peace is something we need to strive for in this life. We need to remember that the Lord is able to establish true peace among us. Verses 3 and 4. He delights in the fear of the Lord, our Messiah, Jesus, teaching us to delight in the fear of God and to honor God. And remember, the Lord comes, the Messiah comes. He does not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears. He cannot be deceived by what he hears or sees. He cannot be deceived. He sees and cuts straight through to the truth. With righteousness, he will judge the needy. With justice, he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, the breath of his lips. He will slay the wicked. Our Lord Jesus is able to establish true peace because he does not judge by externals. He knows the heart for real. And he is our model because he delights in the fear of the Lord. And the picture of peace is there in Isaiah. The wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. A little child will lead them. Picture of true peace. A dream, a hope, a vision. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together. The lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den. And the young child will put his hand into the viper's nest. Power of peace. And they will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse, our Lord Jesus, our Messiah, will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and give you his peace. We're going to spend a moment with a meditation. That's a video. It talks about the thread of Christmas. It's beautiful. It's artistic. And the night when Christ was born, a beautiful song accompanying it. Let's just use that as a moment to reflect. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you that your divine presence is with us here today. Thank you that you respond to our faith in you, our surrender, submitting to you, our Lord Jesus. Just as the shepherds and wise men did, they kneeled and they worshiped you. We kneel and worship you, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to sing and pray and hope and dream in peace today. May you grant that peace be established in our lives in the deepest possible sense, established in our hearts, in our minds, in our relationships, in our experiences, Lord, in our work, in our rest, in our play, and in our seeking to serve one another, Lord, and serve a world in which there have been so many ways in which peace has been shattered. Lord, please bring your healing touch, and through us, to a world in great need. May your peace, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.